I'm going to invite you to take your Bible with me tonight and open with me to the first epistle of the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 1 tonight. 1 John chapter 1. Tonight I want to take some time and consider with you the foundation of forgiveness. We know from other passages of Scripture, like Ephesians 4 and verse 32, that we are to forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. We know that we have a responsibility to forgive others. But if we're going to truly to be able to carry out such a command and a responsibility, we need to understand the foundation for biblical forgiveness. Tonight I want to see forgiveness, or the forgiveness of God in detail, as we find it revealed to us in 1 John chapter 1 and really in verse 9. I want to see the solid foundation upon which the doctrine of forgiveness stands. It has been said that without the doctrine of forgiveness as the foundation for our Christian walk and faith, that our theology would be incomplete, as a compass without a needle, a clock without springs or weights, and a lamp without oil. It's important that you and I understand the doctrine of forgiveness and understand that God has forgiven us. The truth that God has forgiven us is the basis then of us forgiving others. We are to forgive as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. So we need to understand the foundation of biblical forgiveness. Look with me if you would, beginning in 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at beginning at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray together, then we'll consider the foundation for biblical forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight that we can come and look at Thy word, and here we can find truth, Lord, upon which we can build our lives. It's a pillar in our Christian walk, this doctrine of forgiveness. Lord, You have called us to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. So, Lord, I pray that You would help us to see this foundation of forgiveness as presented in Your word tonight. Lord, we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. As human beings who are sinful, there is perhaps no more precious truth to us to consider than the fact that God has forgiven us our sins. What a wonderful reality that a holy God would forgive sinful men. That although our sins be as scarlet, they were made whiter than snow. Although the stain of our sin was great, and the stench of our sin was an offense to a holy God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been washed clean. We have been made whole. He has forgiven us our sin. As we begin tonight to consider this concept of the foundations of biblical forgiveness, I want you to see, first of all, the unwavering truth of God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 simply states, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That truth has been a comfort to many throughout the church age. And yet it continues to be a stumbling block to others as well. Many have wondered and mocked the thought that we can know for sure that our sins are forgiven. Ever talk to someone that just can't seem to understand that concept? How can you say that you know for sure God has forgiven your sins? We can know that. Well, I believe the Bible says we can know that God has forgiven our sins. It is an unwavering truth that those who come and ask, God is going to forgive. Those without Christ cannot comprehend this type of assurance, since they have what we would kind of call a hope-so religion. I remember years ago doing a religious survey in our church's community. And one of the questions that we would simply ask is, do you know for sure if you died today, would you go to heaven? And probably 95 to 98% of the people that we asked that question who were willing to answer would say, I hope so. Maybe, but there's no way for me to know for sure. We used to follow that up with, well, could we show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins can be forgiven? But the vast majority of people, even when they're religious, have a hope so. I hope God forgives me. I hope that all that I do is enough for God to look at my life and say, you're good enough to come into my heaven. That was the other question we used to ask. Why should God let you into his heaven? Well, you know, I've worked pretty hard and I'm pretty good. And well, I'm a whole lot better than my neighbor. You should see what goes on down there. Okay. That's really not the basis of salvation. The wonderful truth is our God desires to forgive men of their sins. We who believe the Bible have an assurance that our God will forgive our sins. If we confess, he will forgive. It's a promise from God. It is a unwavering truth that all who come to him will in no wise be cast out. All who seek his forgiveness will be forgiven. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That truth does not change. God will not waver on that concept, that truth. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad that my God is not going to change his mind about forgiving me my sins. Let's face it. From the moment I was saved till today, I still sin against Holy God. And so do you. Multiple times in any given day, you and I sin against the Holy God. I was talking to our students in the academy as I teach Bible. We're talking about the holiness of God. And we're looking at the example of Jesus Christ, who is the best example of a holy life. Holiness has two basic concepts. One is positive and the other is negative. The negative side of holiness is this: I live my life separate from sin. We need to do that. But you know, there's the other side of the coin, the positive side. And that is complete conformity to God's purpose and plan, will for my life. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you will find one whose life was in complete conformity to the will of the Father. He did what the Father asked him to do. His priorities were right. His passions were right. They were all surrendered to the will of God. You can say today, well, I lived a holy life because I didn't sin. Here's my question. Were you today conformed to God's plan for your life? Or are you conforming your life
to your plans, your will, and your wishes. Where were your priorities set today? On God or on you?
We really can't claim to have lived a holy life when we've lived by our priorities and by our ways. Because holiness demands that I live in complete conformity to God as I live separated from all sin. The unwavering truth is this: when we sin and when we fall, God is still going to forgive us our sin. The assurance of this truth rests in the unwavering character of God. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 130, verse 4, "There is forgiveness with thee." Our forgiveness rests in God. Our confidence rests in His person and in His character. We know that He will never withdraw His forgiveness, for He is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 and verse 6. "It's because of my mercies that you are not consumed. I am a God who does not change." It's what He tells His people. And it's His mercies that keeps them from being consumed. No wonder why Jeremiah would say, "Great is thy faithfulness." Because our God doesn't change. There is the unwavering truth that God will forgive us our sin. But I want you to also understand that this truth is an immovable truth. As we consider the concept of God's forgiveness, it's important that we are not only assured that He will forgive, but that we understand the basis of that forgiveness. God's forgiveness is sure, and we can rest upon it because there are three basic pillars that support that doctrine. And that's what John tells us here in 1 John 1 and verse 9. The pillars that support this truth, that lets us know that it is immovable, is first of all, God's divine faithfulness. Look at verse 9 again. "If we confess our sins," what's it say? He is faithful. Our God is faithful. We know that He will forgive our sins. And one of the pillars that holds up that truth is the faithfulness of God. We can be certain that our sins are cleansed because God is faithful. He has promised to forgive those that ask. He cannot lie. He cannot go back upon His promise. He is a God that is ever faithful. We've mentioned this already, but Jeremiah was a faithful prophet who proclaimed the judgment of God. Jeremiah had a hard task. He had a hard job. I don't envy Jeremiah in the ministry that Jeremiah had. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet for good reason, not just because of the compassion that he had for God's people, but his road and his ministry was hard. Not one single convert. Not really anyone who would listen. No one to repent. God's people were in their sin. They were hard and fastened and unwilling to hear. That's hard for a preacher of God. And yet the reality is Jeremiah knew that God would have to punish the sin of His people, Israel. He knew that God was holy and must judge sin. But he also understood that God is a God of mercy. And God is a God of faithfulness. Lamentations 2, verse 22 and 23, Jeremiah proclaims, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness." Although God would judge His people, He wouldn't annihilate them. There were other nations, by the way, that God destroyed right off in the face of the earth. And if any nation, in essence, deserved that, it was Israel. They constantly sinned against God, and they had the truth before them. Yet Jeremiah said, because of your mercies, we're not consumed. You're a faithful God. When we confess our sin, we are assured that He will forgive, because God is faithful. I've talked to folks at times, and they say, I really want to get back and on the right track spiritually, but the reality is, I've just sinned too much. God can't forgive me. Folks, one of the wonderful pillars that upholds the doctrine of forgiveness is the faithfulness of God. And you cannot move that truth. He will forgive. All who come, He will forgive. There has not been a human being in the history of this world that has sought God's forgiveness that has found God unable or unwilling to forgive. Because God is faithful. The divine faithfulness of God makes this truth immovable. There's another truth, though, and that is He is faithful and just. Divine justice is the second pillar upon which the doctrine of forgiveness rests. Sometimes we think of justice, and we think of forgiveness, and we think that creates almost a paradox. How does justice work in relation to forgiveness? I want God's forgiveness. I don't really want His justice. I want Him to forgive. Well, folks, the fact that our God is a God that is just ensures that He will forgive. So, Pastor, how do you know that? Consider four statements with me. Number one, God's justice demands a payment for sin. Because our God is a God that is just, He demands a payment for sin. Second, God's love provided a payment for sin. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's justice demands a payment for sin, and His love provided that payment. Christ's payment for our sin provides for our forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. By the shedding of Christ's blood, there is forgiveness, as that blood is applied to the life. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His payment provides God's forgiveness. Here's the final statement. Christ's payment satisfied God's demand for justice. God's justice demands a payment for sin, but God's love provided the payment. And Christ's payment provides the way to our forgiveness. And that forgiveness that we've received by Christ's payment satisfies the demands of a holy God. So we put all that together, then we conclude that in justice, forgiveness was granted. And it would be unjust of God not to forgive those who come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful concept. If we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just. I like that truth. Because those two, along with a third that we're going to see, provide a wonderful support to a doctrine that will not be moved. God will forgive. When we come and we confess our sins, we are assured that He will forgive us because He is just. The final thought is this: divine supervision. There is provision within the law of man that allows a man to leave a last will and testament Before you and I die, we can write a will. That legal document seeks to look after the affairs of our family and their lives after us. We try to provide for their needs. That individual seeks to give direction how his estate should be divided and whom should receive the endowments. But here's the reality. When he dies, he has no power to make sure that will is carried out. In fact, many wills are broken, and the final wishes of a person are just simply ignored. I don't know about you, but we've been a part of that as our family. When my grandfather died on my dad's side, there were certain things that were supposed to be given out, and everything was earmarked. The wonderful, loving family that we have on my father's side decided, well, they go to church every Sunday. So when we left for church, they came in about 10 minutes later, cleaned the house out of all the things that they wanted, even though they were earmarked for other people of the family, and they basically robbed that house. You don't have to abide by the will just because someone wrote it. People break them all the time. No, the wonderful truth is, when it comes to forgiveness, we can be assured that God's desire to forgive won't be ignored. Because he's the one who superintends. He's the one who supervises. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sin. It is God who forgives. It is God who oversees. It is God who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't put that in the hands of another. He himself does that work. Folks, those three things together are pillars that support a truth immovable, that God will forgive. Finally, I want you to see an inseparable truth. The proof of our forgiveness is seen in our cleansing. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, notice, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we see the evidence of a life that has been cleansed and changed, it's a proof that God has abided by his promise and he has forgiven the sin. Forgiveness demands there be cleansing. Consider this truth. Sin produces guilt. Does it not? When you and I sin against God, that sin produces within us guilt. We become convicted of that which we've done. And what that guilt needs is forgiveness. We need to know that our sin's forgiven, and when that forgiveness is applied, the guilt's removed. It's over, it's done with. It's one of the concepts we tried to teach very hard to our children. They're going to make their mistakes. They're going to fail, sometimes miserably. Sometimes it's going to anger mom and dad. We don't like it when they do those things, especially those blatant sins. But once the correction is handed out, and once the child seeks forgiveness, we have a rule in our home. It's done. The moment they walk out our room after that has been enacted upon them, it is over. And it's brought up no more. The crying stops, the sobbing's over, the love has been applied. It's over. We're not going to bring it up again. We're not going to talk it about again. We're not going to charge you with it again. It's done. Why? Because that's how God works with us. Sin produces guilt, and guilt needs forgiveness. Sin also produces pollution, and pollution demands a cleansing. Folks, when you and I sin, we dirty, so to speak, the garments. They need to be cleansed. They need to be washed. They need to be cleaned. I want to remind you, though, that this truth in verse 9 all hinges on a very small concept. First word. If we, confessors.
Folks, the wonderful blessing is God will forgive. That's an unwavering truth, it's an immovable truth, and it's an inseparable truth from our cleansing. But it all hinges on whether or not you and I are willing to seek it and confess our sin. By the way, can I remind you, the word confess means to say the same thing. We have a lot of people that want to rationalize away sins today.
I don't think that counts in the mind of God, folks. It wasn't a sin, it was just a mistake. Just a little blunder in my discretion. No, we call that immorality. It was just a little white lie. Folks, every lie is black. There's no such thing as a white lie. Right? Lie is a lie. And our God who is holy cannot lie. I'm glad God can't tell me white lies. You and I'd be in trouble if he did. We need to call it what it is. I wasn't gossiping, I was sharing a prayer request. That's a lie. Call it what it is, folks. It's sin. I didn't really mean to say that about you and hurt your feelings. Yes, you did. Folks, because we say what we mean, and we mean what we say. We know exactly what we're doing when we do it. Let's confess it for what it is. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. If we're going to say the same things, it means sometimes we need to be a little specific. Now, it's okay for us to sometimes say, Lord, you know, there are some things probably I've done today. I don't even know what I did. Because quite honestly, it's all blurred to me today. Forgive me of my sins today. But you know what the reality is? We often know what we did. So it doesn't mean it's any good that we lay our head down to bed tonight and say, okay, God, before I go to sleep tonight, just forgive me for all my sins. Amen. And think that everything's going to be okay with God. Would that work for you, by the way, in relationships with your husband and wife? Ladies, would that really work if your husband just mean to you all day and say, now, honey, before we go off to bed tonight, just forgive me for everything I said to you tonight. Good night and love me tomorrow. He's got another thing coming if he thinks that's going to happen. You're going to wake up angry tomorrow and he's going to go, why are you mad at me today? You should know. And he's going to go, I don't know, I asked for forgiveness for everything. Everything's okay. That doesn't work there. God says if we confess our sin, there's an unwavering truth, an immovable truth, and an inseparable truth. He will forgive. And he will cleanse. What a wonderful concept that our God forgives us when we sin. That foundational truth is the basis of our forgiving one another. Because we are to forgive as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We need to understand the basis of that forgiveness, the foundation of it, as God has laid it out to us in his word. Let's pray together, then we'll be dismissed.